Last week in the Gospel of John, we heard Jesus declare that he was and is I am. Yahweh, I am who I am, the Lord God, the covenant God of Israel, who is the creator, reaching out to redeem us in history. What I'd like to do now is to trace in the Gospel of John just all his further series of declarations sort of built off of that, the I am declarations. Now, it's impossible to be certain whether or not Jesus intended all of them to refer specifically to the name Yahweh. But they're certainly claims to divinity applied in a variety of colorful ways, and Jesus loved to be colorful. Each one is another name that Jesus adopts as his own and as he claims to be our divine source of eternal life. Now, this first one, we're going to look in John chapter 6. Jesus depicts himself as the answer to spiritual hunger. And it's a message I think that will bring us right to his table today. It's part of a large reading. We're going to jump in on verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You're looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. It's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. From now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he's given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks at the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And of course, the name we're looking at today is I am the bread of life. The feeding of the 5,000 was a milestone in Jesus' career. You know, when he began to visit towns, preaching and healing, he was a curiosity. And then word started to spread that he preached like nobody else, and he could actually heal people. So folks began to spontaneously search him out. And I think that he created the original flash mobs, you know. They didn't have the texting, but somehow word of mouth came and people would come where he was going to be, and they just would appear. And it's the interest in Jesus exploded on a broad hillside not far from Capernaum on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. I think that's where it was. And there, 5,000 men, and not counting women and children, converged around the fishing village where Simon Peter ran his business, and Jesus had gone to a retreat. And Matthew says that Jesus healed some who were sick there. Mark says that mainly, though, he taught, and he taught for hours. Evening approached, and the disciples began to be concerned that the families there had nothing to eat. So in a marvelous, apparently spontaneous gesture, Jesus fed them. He fed them all with 5 small loaves of bread and 2 fish. You know, the multiplication of food was a miracle of cosmic proportions. The more you think about it, the bigger it gets. You know, in a way, it was just a meal, but it was a meal that only the Creator could make from just so little to start with, providing enough for every person so that no matter where you were in that crowd, you know, the baskets could be going around to just, you know, thousands of people. But when it gets to you, there's enough there so you eat until you can't eat anymore. It's just amazing. This jaw-dropping gesture was, as far as we know, an afterthought. Jesus spent hours teaching, and apparently even those who healed had stayed to listen, and the families who stayed, they needed some food. But this afterthought of Christ stole the show. Before then, his miracles were only witnessed a few people at a time, and so they were kind of like rumors. But now, a significant hunk of the population, 10,000 or more people from dozens of towns, not only witnessed a miracle, they were part of it. And interest in Jesus just skyrocketed. Unfortunately, and Jesus, I think he knew it, but he knew it more and more as he went along, miracles do not always provide the right kind of interest. You know, I can't prove this. As I read it, it seems to me almost as if Jesus regretted performing that miracle of the loaves and fishes. He immediately tried to play it down. He tried to get away, both in terms of that personal retreat that he owed his disciples and also in terms of distancing himself from that crowd. It's almost as if he could sense that some in that crowd were more impressed by the meal than all the things he had said to them. And even though the disciples left by sea and they set out to another location, there were some who wanted more food. And it says that they followed them around the coast and met them when the boats came in. And the text is very clear about this. They weren't looking for teaching, and they were not looking even for healing. They just wanted another meal, maybe many more meals. You know, food was hard to come by. It required steady work. Not everybody had that. Or for whatever reason, these men were only interested in food. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. You're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. People came to Jesus for food. Think about this. People came to Jesus for food, and he turned them away. He turned them away. He behaved exactly as he taught on the Sermon on the Mount, where he taught that those who run after stuff, the stuff of life, food, clothing, things like that, they're going to be disappointed. But those who sought the kingdom of God would find that God would provide for them all the stuff they really need. You know, he's going to say that when you ask for something in my name, God's going to give it to you. So obviously there must be something different between asking in his name and just asking for things that I want. We're going to get to that in a later time when he says, I am the vine. So in the one case, he provided food without even being asked. And in the second case, he wouldn't provide food even though he was asked. Jesus came to serve us by providing us what we need, not necessarily what we ask for. He did not come to necessarily make our lives easier in the short term. He came to give us new lives, not easier lives. He came that we might die to our rebellion against God, which can only end in one way, one tragic, terrible way, and to receive instead a new life of faith and growing joyful holiness, a life purchased by him, given to us as a gift. That's the only kind of life God's going to bless. But it's also the kind of life that God will only bless, always, and never curse. Please, guys, don't focus on my ability to pull a fish out of a basket. I came for so much more than that. To a woman drawing water because she was an outcast all by herself, Jesus said, I can give you living water. Drink it and you'll never thirst again. So now he says to these men, I can give you living bread. Eat it and you'll never hunger again. Don't come to me just looking for me to make your life a little easier today. Come to me looking for the kingdom of God. Don't focus on a blessing. Receive from me a life that God will always bless. But these guys are not easily swayed. They came for a meal. And they argue that Moses gave God's people 40 years of bread, literal bread from heaven. Hey, if you're from God, can't you do that? He was very patient with them. I know the kind of bread you want. But I'm the kind of bread you need. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus declared, I'm the bread of life. And so finally the men say, okay, we'll think about what you're saying about yourself if you give us some lunch. So then Jesus, you can just see things building, you know. So then Jesus lets fly with one of the most colorful and one of the most extravagant images he will ever use. He says, you want me to give you lunch? Okay, have me for lunch. I am the living bread that came down from heaven, and this bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. How do you like that? He never intended that expression to be taken literally. He specifically explained later on in this very chapter to his disciples that eating his body was just his way of saying, absorbing or digesting his words that he gave. He was contrasting the literal food the crowd wanted with the spiritual gospel that he came to feed us. But it was a great image, and he thought of it spontaneously in that conversation, but he remembered that. And when it came time when he was thinking carefully about the Last Supper he would have with his disciples, he wanted to press home the point that he is the Passover lamb, and he had just the right image ready to go, eat my body, drink my blood, a graphic and unforgettable way of describing faith. Eat what I came to give you. Cultures change and generations change, but the essence of life remains pretty much the same till Jesus returns. And the needs and the trials and the miseries and desperations that brought crowds to Jesus then still bring us today. Jesus, would you please make my life easier by giving me what I want? I don't think a Sunday goes by. I don't think a day goes by when my soul does not yearn for a miracle that will make my life easier. A miracle, yeah. I don't use that language, of course, but that's what I want. I want God to actually reach in to this world and change things for my benefit so life will be easier. And why not? Life can get pretty hard. And sometimes I ask him. Sometimes I ask him for stuff, like a car for my daughter. She just totaled the car, but she's all right, I believe. Or enough money so I can retire when I want to. Or healing when I have the flu, or healing from my diabetes, or just make the pain go away, you know, like with a kidney stone. I ask that a lot. Or little things, like, Lord, can we have good weather, you know, for the family outing? Little things. Could you just change the weather patterns of the whole planet, you know, for me? I want an unending series of miracles designed for my comfort, because in this life I got so many needs, and I know God cares about them. But you see, there's such a difference. There's such a difference between coming to God, demanding. That's what these guys are doing. Demanding that he give what we want. There's a difference between that and coming to God, believing that he's already given me everything. And all I need to do is hold out my hand to receive what he knows I need. Demanding things of God ignores everything Jesus has said about God's kingdom and his purpose and his plan and his character. Because you can't trust any of that. You got to tell him. That comes to Jesus with a hunger that can never be satisfied because it will always ignore what Jesus says and look instead for a temporary break in a life that's stacked up against me. Faith is different than that. Faith is different. Faith is different. Because faith has listened to Jesus and already found in him God's love and God's care. Hunger for stuff never ends. Hunger for God can be satisfied. I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never grow hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. We all have needs. We all need God to help us. But faith does not depend on miracles of convenience in order to believe in him. Faith has chosen to believe in the biggest miracle of them all. The miracle that is Jesus Christ. His death for sin was my death for sin. His glorified resurrection is going to be my glorified resurrection. His human relationship with the Father is my relationship with God right now. And Jesus is organizing an eternal glory, and he's coming back for me. Jesus told that second crowd, you come to me seeking a mouthful of bread, and you think you're asking for a big deal? Ask for more than that. Ask for life. Ask for a life that's more than food and clothing. Ask for the kingdom of God. Don't pin your life on a series of somethings. Receive what I came to give you, which is everything. The favor and love of God will take care of you forever. See, the truth is this. The truth is that faith does not approach Jesus Christ and demand great and mighty things. Faith approaches Jesus Christ and expects great and mighty things. Faith's expectation is so real, it doesn't have to demand even what those great things have to be. Faith doesn't hunt Jesus down and hound him for a particular miracle because I want it. Jesus has got lots of miracles to choose from. He can take away my ailment in an instant. Do you believe that? I believe that. Do you believe that? Jesus can take my ailment, that same ailment, and translate it, use it to translate me from a world of woe into his amazing presence in an instant. Do you believe that? If you demand that God bless you in a certain way, then you don't know him yet. You want to leverage his power, but you don't trust him. If you know God in Christ, you know you are already blessed. You can't lose. Christ has already won. And that kind of faith is content to let Jesus choose the miracles he wants to give me. I just focus on asking for his will. What this text tells me is that Jesus doesn't see faith in people who hunt him down and demand things for their own convenience. He didn't. But he does see faith in people who are content to sacrifice time and energy, sacrifice profit and worldly opportunities, and if necessary, sacrifice the approval of family, friends, and society to sit on a hillside and listen to him and believe what he says and receive him and his gospel as food from God. Are they going to lose out? Are they going to lose out because they aren't obsessed with what they think they need? Well, you know, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus began the meal. And to this day, to this very day, today, everyone who comes to him believing in him finds that no matter how many thousands, no matter how many millions of people have eaten before, when that basket or bowl or cup or tray gets to them, somehow the Creator himself has found a way to provide more than they can eat. Not a bad miracle to never hunger again. Jesus, the great I am, is the bread of life. He's everything I need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, a lot of us now are ready to come up for communion. We're going to hold a little piece of bread and remember that your son told us to eat his flesh. We're going to hold a little cup and we're going to remember he told us to drink his blood. Normally we think of the Passover lamb when we hear those words, but today I think we're going to hearken back to that first time he said such a striking thing. Some of us are going to come filled with expectation and joy, and I know your son is going to celebrate with us. And Lord God, some of us are going to come with expectations, but expectations struggling with fear or cynicism or depression even. Already believing, but tempted to believe we can only be happy in a particular way and not sure you're going to give us what we ask. But Lord, the faith is there. It's really there. Lord God, let us see your son smile. Remember who he is. And at his table today, may much fear and cynicism and depression just be left behind. And Lord God, some of us will not be coming because we're not certain what we believe. Lord, you can be everywhere at once. While you're up here feeding others, would you come out and sit beside us? We need to believe in you. Would you come out and give us a taste of this living bread you talk about.